make your way down to the front. We're going to have a little fun. Is that okay? Everybody up. Everybody down to the front. You guys look great. Beautiful faces. Oh, thank you. Look at how many people we have. Guys, this is awesome. Who's been to Uproar before this year? Who are veterans of Uproar? All right, how many of you, this is your first time ever being at an Uproar conference? How is it so far? We doing good? Doing all right? All right, I want to hear a couple people's favorite parts. So if you got a favorite thing that happened so far, raise your hand. Right there. What's been your favorite part of Uproar Conference so far?
Holding this mic, meeting the people from the other camp, and playing soccer, and the praise and the worship is really good. And the preaching is really good. I like everything.
Can we give it up for Abundant Life Worship and Teddy's team? They've been great, haven't they? All right, let's do one more. Who else? Who has something awesome they want to share about Uproar this weekend? Let's do you in the pinkish shirt right over there.
The jumping up and down was really fun. Yeah.
How many of you guys have enjoyed getting to dance like no one's watching, right? We love to praise God in this house, amen? All right. Well, we are so excited that you guys are here. This has definitely been the best year of Uproar yet. If you've never been here before, then this is just the best. I can promise you that. But how many of you, more than anything else, have loved the presence of God in this place? Right? If nothing else happens, we've experienced Jesus. And that is just the best thing in the whole world. And so what we're going to do right now is we're going to prepare this atmosphere, right? We're going to pray. How many of you love to pray? How many of you know we pray to a God who hears us when we pray to him? Amen. How many of you know we pray to a God who speaks back to us when we pray to him? Amen. So what I'm gonna pray right now, and what I want to do is I want you all to pray, because you're the ones at this conference. You're the ones who traveled here, who drove here, who maybe had to get special permission or take off work and made sacrifices to get here. And so your expectation is what's going to dictate the way the power of God moves in this place. Amen. And so I'm going to pray, but you all need to pray, and you need to set your expectation. Whatever it is that you want God to do in your life during this service, it doesn't have to wait until tonight. It doesn't have to wait until there's 100 more people in this room. God can meet you right here, right now, before they even sing a lyric or play a note, right? So open your mouths in this place. If you have a prayer language, if you speak in tongues, please feel free to do that. This is a Holy Spirit-filled place, and we're just going to pray down heaven. Is that okay? All right. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for everything you've already done at Uproar Conference this weekend. We give you all of the praise and honor and glory. Before we ask for another thing, God, we bring gratefulness to you. We are so thankful for everything that you've already done in this place, for the lives that have been changed, the people that have been healed, the salvations that have come through, God. We just praise you for it. We thank you for the power that you have displayed. We thank you that you have truly shown yourself to be the almighty, all-powerful God that you say that you are in your word. And so right now, God, we just thank you for that. And we just set our expectation through the roof of this place today that you are going to show up in a way that you haven't even yet. God, we thank you that last night was amazing and this morning was amazing, but this afternoon is going to be even more amazing, because you only take us to new places. You take us higher every time you show up in this place. And so we thank you for new levels of the Holy Spirit. We thank you for new levels of worship in the name of Jesus. We thank you for going deeper in the word in the name of Jesus. I pray for new revelation as the word comes forth today. I pray that as Pastor speaks, as Pastor Chad preaches, that you will just give something new to him today, that there will be something fresh that will fall on the ears of these students, and that their lives will be changed immediately in the name of Jesus. I pray that you will stir a hunger in this place right now in the name of Jesus, that our appetite has not been satisfied, but that it's just getting bigger in the name of Jesus, that as we stand here as a family, as the body of Christ, unified under one heart and one mind, seeking your face together, God, that you will reign in this place like we could never imagine, that your Holy Spirit has full reign and full authority. We welcome you into this place, God. We open the doors, we open our hearts, we open our spirits and our minds to you, and we say, have your way, God. It has nothing to do with our plans and our agenda, but that you reign and you be lifted up above all else. It's not about a band and it's not about a speaker, but it is about the Almighty Jesus reigning in this place, lives being changed, and people hearing his name. Amen. How many of you are ready to worship today? Oh, come on. I said, how many of you are ready to praise the living God today? Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Come on, clap those hands. Yeah. Y'all ready? I said, are y'all ready?
Thank you. You are. I wish somebody get wild at 2:13 o'clock. Are you ready? Do it again. There's no one like God. Cause he's just
Thank you. from our heart. Yes, it's all one more time.
The desire for Jesus is so tangible in this place, which I'm telling you is producing a presence in this place that is just out of control. I just want to, just one more time from the back to the front, I just want to lift our voices up. We don't even really need the instruments. Just let's go voices on that. Come on. Let's give it to them. Let's sell out all that you got for this last couple seconds of this song. I played sports growing up, and they tell us, leave 100% on the field, leave 100% on the field. And I see people, man, they'll sell out for sports, or they'll sell out for a girl, they'll sell out for grades, or they'll sell out for anything. But for the next couple minutes, let's go even to a new place. I'm not saying you're not worshiping, I'm just saying, let's go to even a new place in our worship for the next couple minutes, all right? So from the back to the front, come on, let me see your hands up. And we're going to worship with everything we got. From the bottom of your lungs, go ahead and let this out. Let it be your cry. Let it be your prayer in this moment. Come on, this is easy. Come on, let me hear you. Come on, be the loudest one. Be the one with the biggest heart. Come on. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, come on, give it to Jesus. Come on, one more time. Go ahead. Come on. Give it everything you got. Come on. Can I hear a mighty shout for the name of Jesus? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I want to challenge, come on, I want to challenge you guys before we break up, that you can be loud in the church, but I think it's more important that you're loud in the streets. If you're going to make a commitment today that you're not going to be silent, you're not going to be hidden, can I hear an even greater shout than you just let out real quick in this place? Jesus, I thank you that all over this place, you have a generation that's going to answer the call. A generation that won't be like our fathers that have forgotten about your power. That won't be like the past generations that have missed you. But Lord, we're going to serve you diligently. We're going to honor you diligently. And we're going to absolutely share you diligently. If you believe it, can I hear a mighty amen on the way back to your seats? We could stay here till 6 and worship, but we'll save that for tonight. We're going to end with a bang. So they want me to make a couple announcements. If you want merch, it's just about gone, so you better get there quick. Food will be available in between the sessions as normal. We got Triply at 6, Abundant Life Worship after that. Brother Teddy's going to be preaching right after that. Come on, I want you to come expecting for the craziest experience in Jesus you've ever had. Church doesn't got to be boring. So, here's what we're going to do. Actually, before we do that, it's raining outside, but whatever. Every experience is what you're willing to make it. A little bit of rain's not going to turn me off. I'm going to have fun. We're going to have a great day. So 18 to 28, you guys have your over-under session right out back. You guys are released to go. You're going to be a triple E underneath there. He told me what he's about to preach, and I'm excited. So if you're 18 to 28, you go ahead right over for the over-under tent. Man, if you're a teenage, you better stop sandbagging. I see some of my interns trying to run out. Uh-huh. They didn't even look back. And, hey, leaders, if you're in this room, I want to encourage you. We have a leadership session over here. We're going to have a round table with Brother Teddy, Pastor Sean, Pastor Spencer, and myself. So if you're a leader in this room, we're going to go right over here for our last leadership session. So you guys are good to go ahead and get up and head over through these doors where we've been for the leadership session. So I want to encourage you to go head over there real quick. We'll give you a couple minutes. You don't want to miss that round table. I'm beyond excited about it. Someone was telling me that the secrets are in the conversations, that the word is great, but when you get to ask a specific question and get a specific answer, there's some powerful truths that can come out just in conversation. So go ahead, leaders, move over. Hey, if you're a teen and you're in the back, there's some sections. There's a little bit of room up here you can move up into if you want to be closer for the word. Go ahead, leaders, go ahead. All right, if you're a teen in here, let me see your face because you got something special that's about to happen, all right? There you are, some pretty faces in here. I want to introduce to you your speaker for the afternoon. It's Pastor Chad Spencer. He's actually the young adults pastor here at our church. So go ahead and give it up for him real quick as he comes and takes the mic.
All right, y'all. You can give me a mediocre hand clap, but let's all stand real quick and let's give Jesus a round of applause. Father, we love you. Thank you, Jesus. I'm just going to come straight down because I promise I'm a preacher. So y'all can just stay standing real quick. Just lift your hands. Set your heart in a way that you are expecting God to do something radical in your life. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your presence. We thank you for your power. Lord, we pray right now that your anointing will flow through this room, that not one person will leave the way the same. And Jesus, we thank you that as we lift your name up, you will draw every single person to you. And Lord, by your anointing, by your power, things will be broken. Bondages will be broken. Captives will be set free. And Jesus, you will truly reign in this place. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Everybody said? Amen. Now let's give Jesus one more hand clap and shout. That's what I love to hear. That is great. Y'all can sit, grab a seat. As my brother said, I am the young adults pastor here at the church. Just moved here in January, freshly married. I got married December 4th of 2015. Babe, this is my wife over here. She's not going to stand. She's going to act like she's shy, but she's really not. It's not true. Don't believe her. She's not shy. Y'all, I am so excited to bring the word today. I fully believe that the Holy Spirit has something for each and every one of you today. And so I just want to get right into this thing, all right? Are you guys hungry for the word? I feel it. I mean, the Holy Spirit is just moving in this place. God is just being pulled right from the speakers, from the band, from everybody. And God is doing awesome things. So if y'all can just turn real quick to Joshua chapter 4. And now this is something that is so important to me because I fully believe that camps, that conferences, that, you know, times where people come together to celebrate Jesus are one of the greatest things that you could ever do. are one of the most powerful things that as the church unifies, the presence and the power of God is spread throughout the country. It's spread throughout the region. And people are equipped and transformed to preach the gospel, to go back to their schools and to do great things and to fully live out the call that Jesus has placed on your life. But what I've seen so many times is this, and it's so sad. This is what happens. People come and they say, man, God, you did such cool things over this weekend. And then that Monday rolls around. They get back around their same old family, around their same old friends, getting ready for the same old school. And then they fall into the exact same trap that they've been falling into. And you see, I firmly believe that God has something for us as young people. And he doesn't want us to just have an encounter with him and then leave it. And then go and act as if nothing happened. See, God has something for us, and he wants to equip us and actually propel us to have uproar in whatever school you're from. I heard West Virginia. I heard New Jersey. I heard Pennsylvania. I heard all parts of New York. I heard Texas. If you're from Texas, let me hear you. If you're from Jersey, let me hear you. All right. If you're from Delaware, let me hear you. Delaware had, like, not as many people as everybody else, but they were the loudest, so I got to give it up to you. If you're from Wellsboro, can I hear you? All right. You see, guys, where? Virginia. If you're from Virginia, let me hear you. Y'all, like, you forgot about me. I'm not going to yell for you. Rochester. Yeah, I know there's a big grouper from Rochester. You guys are awesome. I did say Jersey. You just forgot to yell. Listen, I love all of you. And if I forgot you, and everybody else, they said. See, I got the main ones. Y'all are good. All right, guys. And so I firmly believe that this is not something that should stay in, you know, measly little horse heads, New York. That wherever you're from, whatever you're doing, you should bring it to where you're at. Okay? You feel the presence of God up here. You feel your lives getting changed and transformed. And I guarantee all of you guys were like, man, if this happened in my town, that would be so cool. My friends would get saved. You know, like revival would happen in my hometown. I just wish that they could do it there. But the thing is, we are doing it here so that you guys can bring it back there. All right, we're not doing it here so that it can remain here, because we have the power of God. We have the Spirit of God here. But we want you guys to be equipped and bring this back to where you came from. But what I see so often is that people just forget. You know, I always joke and I tell everybody that my wife has short-term memory loss, you know, because how many guys out there, you know, and y'all shouldn't be that serious because you're teens, but when I got married, I found out that as much as I told my wife I loved her, she seems to forget, like, within 30 minutes afterwards. And she's like, babe, you never tell me I love you. And I'm like, babe, I've told you I love you, like, 15 times a day. Do you really not remember? And so I just give it to, you know, short-term memory loss. But so many times we do this with God. God sits there. He pours out his Spirit. He pours out his love on you guys. And then we get this, you know, short-term memory loss. What has God done for me? Maybe a month down the road. Man, you can't even remember the conference anymore. But see, this is something we need to strategically do and position ourselves for. If you guys look at Joshua chapter 4, it says, when all the people had crossed the Jordan, let me give you a little backstory. This is Moses had just died. The Israelites had been walking through the wilderness for 40 years. They're finally ready to transition from the wilderness to the promise of God, okay? And so what happened was this. It was so cool. Joshua, who was the new leader of Israel, he had the opportunity to lead them into the promised land. And so as they left behind the old things, they crossed this river called the Jordan River. Have you guys ever heard of the Jordan River? Okay, yeah. So basically the Jordan River symbolizes transition. How many of you guys, through this conference, through these last 2-3 days, you've had some transition in your life? You've had some things start to change. You've start to have some things that are stirred up inside of you. Maybe you don't want to be the same person that you used to be before you came. See, transition always needs to be followed by a memorial. okay? And you're like, what? Don't worry, we'll get to it. So he's about to go into the promised land. And so this is what happened. The people had just crossed the Jordan River, and the Lord said to Joshua, now choose 12 men from each tribe. Tell them, take 12 stones from this very place where the priests are standing in the middle of Jordan. Carry them out into a pile and place them where you will camp tonight. So Joshua called them all together, called the 12 dudes together, one from each tribe. He told them, go into the middle of Jordan in front of the ark of the Lord your God. Each must pick up a stone and carry it out on your shoulder. 12 stones in all, one for each tribe of Israel. We will use these stones to build a memorial. In the future, your children will ask you, what do these stones mean? These stones will stand as a memorial along with the people of Israel forever. And so you guys are like, what? No, listen to me, okay? So many times when we go through a position of transition, we just, you know, get that short-term memory loss. We just get, oh, man, God, what have you ever done for me? You know, you forget last month that, you know, at the Uproar Conference, God laid you out in the spirit. He was pouring out his love on you. He did a miracle in your life. He healed your body, whatever you got from that. But you just get that short-term memory loss. So what God is telling the children of Israel, he's saying, listen, I know y'all have short-term memory loss. I know y'all are going to forget that, wow, God actually, he dried up the Jordan River so that they could walk across. You know, that's not a natural thing. That's a supernatural thing. So as he dried up that river, they all crossed. And he knew that they would forget what God had done for them because, you know, they had, you know, very short-term memory loss. How many of you guys read the Old Testament and you're like, man, how could people be that dumb? How could people, you know, like, forget what God did for them so quickly? And then I, like, get that check in my spirit. Man, what was the last thing that you forgot that God's done for you? And so what we need to do is we actually need to build a memorial intentionally so that you can look back and you can say, man, on this date, July 28th, July 29th, July 30th, that is the day that God changed my life. That is the specific time and the specific place that God radically brought me from here to here. So that you don't forget, and you can look back on that, and you keep looking back on that. And what happens when you look back on that? You're reminded that God is faithful. God is a God of love. God is a God who wants to, has your best interest in mind. And so, guys, I said all of that because I want to go into this. A, do not forget to build a memorial for this weekend. Do not forget to say, man, God, on this day, you did this for me. Never forget. And then carry that with you. Carry that as you go to start up school in September. Carry that with you and never forget it. Because this is what happened. You know, I'm going to get into my testimony, and I actually got saved at this conference 4 years ago. And that's pretty radical for me because I'm so excited because I now have the opportunity to stand up here and talk to you guys about what God has done in my life. And so how many of you guys know that once you encounter someone, you can't really deny who they are? Like if I walk up to you and I'm like, hi, my name's Chad. Hi, she's Malaya. Guess what? I just met her. I just introduced myself to her. And so now that I know who she is, I'm not going to forget her. So many people think, man, you know, I can't see God, so I've never met him. How many of y'all have been experiencing God through this week? Some of y'all need to then because I don't see every hand. So if we look and we go to Acts chapter 9, I want to talk to you guys about someone who had an encounter with God. Because what God wants for you is for you to have an encounter with him. For you to be introduced to him. And I know this weekend, I mean, God has radically shown up. God has done incredible things. And he's going to continue to grow and develop and build off of what he's been doing. So if you go to Acts chapter 9, you hear about this awesome dude. His name is Saul at the time, but he turns into Paul, writer of two-thirds of the, well, about 40% of the New Testament. And so this guy had an encounter with God. How many of y'all want to have an encounter with God? Come on, no. You can talk. Let's get rowdy, okay? We don't have to be quiet. How many of you guys want to have an encounter with God? Because God is our source. And when we encounter our source, we recognize where we came from. We recognize that God is supernatural and that we are meant to live in a supernatural way. And so what happened is this. Acts chapter 9, Saul, at the time, he was persecuting the church. He was going around putting Christians in jail. He was going around killing some Christians. He was not really a good dude. You know, when you look at it from a Christian standpoint, you'd be like, yeah, that guy's kind of disqualified from being a Christian. Have you ever looked at yourself or looked at someone else and been like, man, how could that person ever get saved? How could I ever get saved? I did this, I did that, I did all these things. How could God love me? Well, you see, God lays awesome stories like this because, I mean, you don't get much worse than a murderer. You don't get much worse than someone that persecutes innocent people. You know, he had so much hate inside of him. He just poured it out and killed and destroyed and did all the works of the enemy. You see, so many times God sees you as you see yourself as disqualified, but God's saying, no, I can qualify your disqualification. See, I can take you from this point. I can take you from some murderer. I can take you from someone that's persecuting my people, someone that, you know, Christians flee from because they don't want to die. I can take you from whatever situation you're at, and I can bring you into life. I can bring you into an encounter with me. But how many of you guys know people are a little bit stubborn? Y'all ever feel like maybe you're a little bit stubborn in life? Because I'm a little stubborn. I'll tell my testimony in a little bit. But, you know, God kind of had to smack me upside the head to get my attention. And you know what? God may have to slap you upside your head to get your attention. But guess what? He'll do it. If he did it for you, he'll do it for me. How many of y'all know when your little brother's getting obnoxious and you can tell him till you're blue in the face? You're like, you need to stop. You need to stop doing this. And then finally, the only thing that gets him is a boom, you know, and yeah, that's right. Okay, sorry. And then he goes and cries to mom and you get in trouble, but we won't talk about that. You see, Saul was a bad dude. We'll just put it that way. Saul was not a good guy at all. And so what he did is he got a letter from some of the Pharisees and from some of the high people in ranking to go and persecute Christians. So he's on his way, and he's approaching this city called Damascus. And he was on this mission. And suddenly a light shone down from heaven. And he heard a voice saying, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Sorry, I'm looking for a familiar face because I can't do this to just anybody. Nope. I've got no one. No, I can't do it even to a... Okay, so this is what I picture when I hear, you know that it's a divine intervention when you literally hear a voice from heaven. When God literally speaks to you. And so when I see these things in the scripture like, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? I picture this, that God is like, Saul, wake up. Saul, what are you doing? How many of y'all just sometimes need a wake-up call? You know, you need to be like, God, come and intervene in my place. I need an encounter with you. You know, you just need to get shook. You just need to be shaken sometimes. And so Saul actually fell off of his horse and he said, who are you, Lord? You know, that was a quick repentance. You don't just call anybody Lord, but if someone shines out of heaven and knocks you off your donkey, you're going to call him Lord. He said, who are you, Lord? And the voice replied, I am Jesus, the one you are persecuting. Now get up and go into the city and you will be told what you must do. So guys, Saul had a radical encounter with God. And y'all know what happens with Saul. He begins to, you know, grow and develop. And he actually ended up writing a lot of the New Testament. He actually spread the gospel to a lot of the Gentiles and throughout Asia and really throughout a lot of the world. He became one of the most influential Christians that there could be. But how many of you guys know that when you look at Saul before he had that encounter with God, you would not consider him a very holy person? You would not consider him a very qualified person to preach the gospel. And so what I want to tell you guys that is every single time you encounter God. You are positioning yourself to be used and transformed to bring the gospel back to wherever you're from. That all these times that you've been encountering God over this weekend, it's not in vain. It's not so that you can have short-term memory loss. It's so that you can go back, and now you're equipped, and now you're ready, and you can go back, and you can tell your friends, man, I don't want to smoke anymore. I don't want to drink anymore. I don't want to do these things anymore. I don't want to cuss anymore. No, I don't want to dip out on youth group early. I want to live for God. You have a radical encounter. That's what this weekend is about. Encountering God. But remember, we always have to look back on our memorials. We always have to look back and, man, that's where God did this. Man, that's where God did this. Because if you look at the Old Testament, they built memorials all around. There were altars built. There were things built. And they every time, even 100, 200, 300 years later, when they look back, those memorials were still there. God never wants you to forget what he's done for you. And so as we look, you know, Saul had this radical encounter with God. And listen, I want to, this is off topic totally, but I was on Facebook earlier today. And, you know, I enjoy Facebook because some people just talk on Facebook that should never talk. Ever, ever, ever. You're like, you know, y'all know that person that like puts their whole life story on Facebook, and you're just like, man, if I could, I would go to your house, throw your computer down the stairs, and then jump on it so that you could never, and then find your phone and throw it out the window because you should never be on Facebook. Well, there was this guy, you know, and he's amusing. I don't think he's one of those people, but I just laugh so hard because he makes the most ridiculous statuses ever. So he's a single guy. I went to Bible school with him. And, you know, when you go through Bible school and you don't end up married, a lot of people are like, what? I thought you went to bridal school. And, you know, that's a Bible school joke. But, you know, like everybody that goes to Bible school is like, man, I'm going to get married. I'm ready. And they're like searching. They're thirsty. It's not good. And so this kid, you know, he made it through Bible school. And now he's sitting there. And I read this Facebook post and he says, man, for the girl that I meet in my future, she's going to be just like Paul. It's going to be a Damascus Road experience. She's going to change her name. Or I'm going to change her name. And I was like, oh, no. Like, that was so lame. Like, out of all the Christian pickup lines that you have the Damascus Road one. And so listen to this. Our dean of our Bible school, all right? And, you know, this kid's graduated, but he had to get on there and troll. So it was just so funny. He literally put, I hope that she doesn't just get with you because she's blinded for 3 days just like Paul was. You know, to get trolled on that hard by your dean of your Bible school, that's embarrassing. That's embarrassing. And so, guys, God wants to have an encounter with you. But the thing is, the only way that you will truly encounter him is to get hungry, is to get thirsty, is to say, you know what, I don't care about anybody else next to me. I don't care that I came with a group of a bunch of my friends, but all I care about is that I want to meet with Jesus. Because I know, look at the Bible, every single person that met with Jesus, they were never the same again. They could never go back and say, man, this is what happened, and then forget about it. You see, but unless they intentionally do it. But what they do is, when we look at the Bible, what did Jesus do? He healed the sick. You know, he cast out demons. He did all of these things. He set the captives free. He did all of these amazing things. And that's what Jesus wants to do for every single person here. You know, every single person has something that they need in their lives. Something that they need breakthrough in and that they're not satisfied with. Well, you see, God is here to change your life. God is here to meet that need. God is here so that you can leave set free, so that you can leave whole, as a whole person, so that when your friends that see you, they come up to you and be like, man, what just happened to you? You just different. You just seem like, you know, everything's not the same. And so, guys, I just want to encourage you that you need to encounter Jesus Christ. You need to get hungry for Jesus Christ. You need to get thirsty for Jesus Christ, because the Bible says that, not that kind of thirsty for Jesus Christ. Whoever just did that, you're nasty. Guys, every single person comes from a different background, from a different culture, from a different family group. But what doesn't matter is that Jesus is the one who has the kingdom culture. Because once you step into the kingdom culture, God has something to do with you. God has something to change in you. And so I just want to tell you guys a little bit about me. Because I know if that he'll do it for me, he'll do it for you. He'll do it for you. He'll do it for you. You know, whatever you need in your life, God's not a genie in a bottle. But guess what? He has promises that he's laid out before you. And just like he said to Paul, what did he say? He said, I am Jesus, the one who you are persecuting. Now get up and go into this city, and you will be told what you must do. You see, if Paul didn't get up and go and do what he was told to do, that wouldn't have been obedient, and God would never have blessed him, and he would have never been in the position that he was at. He would have never written 2/3 of the New Testament. He would have never done all those things. He would have never shared the gospel. And so, guys, I want to know, what is holding you back today? What is that one thing in your life that you said, if I just didn't have this, if I just didn't have that, if this just didn't happen to me when I was younger, if I just didn't, you know, if I didn't come from this kind of a family, if I didn't, you know, if my brother wasn't like this, or if my parents weren't like that, what is that one thing? And throughout this whole time, I want you guys to hold on to that one thing. What is this one thing that is holding you back? Isn't it addiction? Is it just the need for attention? What is that one thing? And so, guys, I grew up in a Christian household. I was a PK. Just straight up nice, solid PK. And the problem is, you know, most PKs don't remain saved. Lots of stuff happens for PKs. But, you know, I was that PK that really wasn't, you know, I was nice to people, but I really had no interest in serving the Lord. I knew God was real. I never once doubted that God was real, but I saw how the people in the church acted towards my family. And I saw how they backstabbed my parents and things like that. And I did the dumbest thing a Christian could ever do. Oh, well, they're disqualified because they did this, so I'm going to leave the church and hurt myself. And so I did it at a young age, like 13. 13, I was sitting there, and I just started to do my own thing. I got introduced to some things. You know, I started looking at pornography. I started getting hanging around the wrong crowd in school. And so I just began to, you know, have influence around me that God is not godly at all. How many of you guys know that when you go through high school, you know, there's some ungodly things that are going on? When you watch TV late at night, there are some ungodly things that are going on. When you pull out your laptop just to innocently Google something, there's not always the most pure things that are going on. And so, you see, I got to the point where I got into high school. I started drinking. I started smoking. I started popping pills. I started sleeping around. I started partying. I wanted to fit in with the cool kids. I was like, because if, you know, these church people, they're all fake, I want to go, you know, and find out what's real. I want to go and, you know, experience something that will satisfy me. You see, what the Bible says, that sin is only pleasurable for a season. And my season was basically all of high school. And I knew that God was calling me. I knew that what I was doing was wrong. And I still managed to sin. I still managed to sear my conscience. You see, once you sear your conscience, that's a scary thing. We did a panel for our young adults, and we were talking about, we did one on relationships. And what the craziest question was asked. They said, if I'm not convicted by it, is it sin? And that was really scary for me, because you know what? If they were to ask that question, that means they have seared their conscience towards something. Because the Bible tells us very specifically what's sin and what's not. So if you have calloused your heart and you have turned so far from God that you don't even feel like things are sin, you need to get a heart check. You need to allow Jesus. Maybe that's your one thing. You need God to come in and change your heart. You need God to come in and make you whole. And so, like I said, I was with the cool kids. I was a great, you know, heathen. I did all of those things. I'm an all or nothing type of person. How many of you guys are like all or nothing? Like, I don't do things mediocre. I don't do things just a little bit. If I'm going to do something, I'm going to go head first. And so I went head first. I was doing all those things. You know, in the natural realm, I was doing okay. I was one of the cool kids. I was one of the partiers. I was sleeping around with all sorts of women, and you know, I got all sorts of props and those things. But the craziest part was I still felt empty inside. I still felt like I was missing that one thing. What is that one thing? Man, I just feel like I can't fill that hole inside of me. Man, I just feel like there's something that's bigger, that's greater. And the thing is, I knew what it was. Remember, I was a PK. I knew exactly what it was. But I decided to run from it. I decided that, you know, well, I might as well just keep trying this thing out because I let pride get in my way. And so then I just continued to do those things, continued all through high school. Seriously, could have gotten in trouble so many times, could have died so many times. But remember what I said, sin is pleasurable for a season. There's only a limited amount of time that you're going to enjoy these things. You're going to start to get to the end of yourself and you're going to say, God, this isn't you. I need something real. I need something tangible. I need something that is going to change my life. You see, the devil makes a counterfeit. The devil never makes something that's genuine. So whatever you're trying to substitute God with, that's just a temporary satisfaction. That is not something that is going to permanently relieve your problems. Generally, what happens is they leave you more broken than before. So you go out, you get a boyfriend or you get a girlfriend to make you, you know, make your heart feel like it's whole. But then you start to fight, you start to get in arguments, you know, he starts to treat you wrong, he gets you around the wrong crowd or something like that. And then you find yourself so far away from God and you're like, God, how did I end up here? God, I need to encounter you. God, I need to be reintroduced to you because I forgot to build my memorial. I feel like I'm so distant from you, Lord. And so that's exactly what I did. I actually enlisted to go in the army because I was like, man, I need to get out of this place. I need to leave. And my parents are real smart. You know, they're inspired by the Holy Spirit. So they're like, great, that's fine. You can leave and go to the army. So I enlisted, had my ship out date, was ready to just ditch everything forever, never come back. And my mom was like, listen, I know you love traveling. So why don't I just, you know, book you for 3 mission trips over the summer right before you leave? Because it was like April. And then I was leaving in November. And I was like, okay, that sounds good. I like traveling. I like food. How many of y'all like food? Man, when you go to, like, I went to Guatemala. They made some of the best coffee ever. And they made some of the best food ever. Man, like rice and beans. I don't know how it tastes so different in Guatemala, but it tastes like heaven down there. And so, you know, I've tried to cook that up, and it just never works. And so it just never tastes the same. And so what I did was, I was like, okay, cool, Mom. So the first one I went on was Guatemala. I had no intentions of doing anything that had to do with God. I just wanted to travel and have a little bit of fun. And so, you know, the first time, it was nice. There were a small group of people. They started to touch my heart. I was like, man, you know, God, I know that you're real. And you know what? Let's change. I don't want to be like I am anymore. And I knew I didn't want to be. And so I was like, God, I'm just going to stop doing what I'm doing right now. I'm going to quit, you know, drinking. I'm going to quit partying. I'm going to quit doing all these things. You know, I'm going to quit looking at pornography. That's like the biggest sleeper in the church. People don't ever address it because it's like, oh, you can't say that word. Well, guess what? I bet half the dudes that are sitting in church and youth group are looking at porn and no one even talks about it. That's a serious thing. And then what I found out was with that female struggle with it just almost as much as guys. And so what happens is this, guys. You start to get distant from God, but you feel disqualified. You feel like, God, how could you ever save me from this? God, how could you ever set me free from this, insert your deep, quiet thing that you've never told anybody about? Because God doesn't want you to be broken, even those things that you don't talk about. He wants to make you whole. He wants to encounter you. Just one touch from God can set you free from something you've been trying to get healed from for 10 years. And I'm not talking just physically. I'm talking spiritually, emotionally. And so, guys, like I said, I went to Guatemala. It was nice. And I was like, okay, I'm not drinking anymore. I'm not partying with my guys. I had a really close group of guys, like five, six guys that we just partied every single night. And so I was like, all right, I'm not going to do that. So I get back to town. My buddies are like, hey, you want to go out with us? And I was like, no, I'm good. I'm not going to go out. And they're like, oh, but come on. And I was like, okay, I'll just be the DD.
I'll just be your driver. You know, I'm not going to drive drunk. That's stupid. And so then I go out with them, and they start, you know, whoa, why didn't you have a drink? Why don't you do something like that? And then, you know, you end up as the DDD, you know, the worst possible situation that you could be in. And so then, you know, I drank, and then the next one came up. This was Haiti. This was in July. And I was like, okay, God, you know, God really changed my life on that. When I saw poverty, I saw people love God, even in the midst of every struggle and every circumstance. Man, I saw like giant holes in the earth from the earthquake. I was like, man, God, these people need you. And they just worshiped him, and God blessed them. And so I was like, man, okay, so I'm going to be good now. I'm going to be good. I don't want to drink anymore. I don't want to party anymore. I don't want to do those things. You see, because I never had my encounter with God. I never had an experience with God. You know, God never came up to me and slapped me upside the head. And so what happened was this. I came back, and I was like, okay, I'm not going to drink anymore. And so I was, like, good for, like, 2 days. And then I started drinking again. And I started smoking again. And I started doing all these things again. And then another one came right before the Uproar Conference. And I went to Honduras. Same exact thing. Night after Honduras, I said, man, I am never going to do this again. I am not going to sin again. I am not going to drink again. And you guys are like, why are you telling me this? Because how many times have you fallen into that same trap that the devil sets for you? How many times have you just not dealt with the root issue of the problem? How many times have you just overlooked and said, okay, well, God will just accept me with this one sin. You know, I'll just live with this one sin. You know, even Paul suffered, right? No, wrong, guys. God wants to make you complete. I promise you. And so what happened was this. Came back that very night after that, I drank again. I was like, God, I am just about as disqualified as you can get. I tried 3 times. I wanted you. What happened? Why did I can't believe I did that. And then the Uproar Conference came. You know, this was 4 years ago, guys. 4 years ago. And this is why I'm pushing. One encounter with God can change your life. Because I came. I sat on the side. I, you know, clapped a few times. I thought, oh, man, that was a nice message. That was nice. Good for those kids. I'm sure, like, Jesus is just doing great things for them. You know, and I didn't participate. Because remember, y'all, you can come here as much as you want, but until you participate with the power of God, until you participate with the corporate anointing, you're never going to get that touch that you're looking for. And so that last night, I was like, man, I'm just going to try it. I'm just going to try to do this thing. And so I was worshiping God. I was lifting my hands. I was just giving all that I had to God. And on August 5th, because it was a week before it is now, they moved it back a week, but on August 5th, 2012, I was sitting right where my wife was sitting right there. And he looked, and Teddy Shuttlesworth Jr., you know, he's here, he's the bomb. He looked at me and he just said, Chad, come up here. And so I came up, and it was, you know, I was nervous. I was like, oh no, he's going to call me out. I tried to be good, you know, he's going to call me out. He's going to condemn me. And no, he looked at me, and he spoke to the potential inside of me. He spoke to what I could be instead of where I was at. Because Jesus doesn't see you where you're at. He sees you at where you can be. He sees you where you're gonna be. He doesn't want you to stay where you are. He doesn't want you to remain stagnant, but he wants to touch you. So Teddy prophesied over my life. He told me that I was called to full-time ministry, which I knew. He told me that I would cast out devils, which I knew. He told me that I would prophesy and do all these great things. And then he laid his hands on me. And I'm telling you, whew, I had never experienced anything like that in my life. I felt the power of God surge through my body like no other. I felt the power of God. You know, I had grown up in church. I had seen other people get touched. But I had not experienced that power. And so literally from the top of my head to the soles of my feet, I just felt in a surge of power. And I hit the ground like a sack of potatoes. Like a sack of potatoes. I was done. And listen, you know, like, I had never fallen down before, and that kind of freaked me out. It really wasn't something that I was, like, intending to do. Actually, I intended to do the opposite. I intended to stand. And I was like, you aren't pushing me over, you know, and, like, leaning forward a little bit and getting that. Like, you know, the anti, like, falling measures that you take, like, bend your knees a little bit, lean forward like this, you know, kind of lift and go forward instead of back, you know, all those cool techniques. And it did not matter. The power of God just poof. And I hit the ground, and I was like, oh, God, that's nice, you know. Thanks for touching me. And I went to go get up. And I felt like I had a ton of bricks on me. I felt like there was something just holding me down. I felt like there was no way I could possibly get up. And I was so confused. And in my mind, it's like God put me in timeout. He's like, you're just going to lay there, and you're going to think about what you've done. You know, you're just going to lay there, and I'm going to work on you while you lay there and think about what you've done. Like, that was like a Holy Ghost timeout that I had. And so I laid there. It was right here. Right here. And I was laying there, and God just touched me. God just transformed me. God just began to move in my spirit like I had never felt before. This was no longer something that I had heard about, but this was something that I had experienced. This was not something that, you know, I read about, but I experienced the one true God. He touched me, and then I got up 10 minutes later, and do you want to know what happened? I didn't go out and drink again. I actually haven't touched alcohol since those 4 years ago. I never once smoked pot again. I never once took another pill. I never once slept with another woman until I married my wife. God took me from my current situation, just like Paul. Disqualified, not really the one that people would choose to preach the gospel. And he took me from where I was at and stood me up and said, this is what I have for you now. This is what I want you to do now. This is how I see you now. And I'm telling you, I felt called to go into the ministry. I said, man, I can't go to the military. The Lord supernaturally provided me a way out. And I said, I need to go to Bible college. I need to go and I need to get trained. I need to get out of my current situation. I need to get out of my current surroundings. And so within 6 months, I was in a Bible school full time. Moved all the way to Tampa, Florida. And God began to equip me and transition me for the next season of my life. So that's where I built my memorial. I said, man, God, I can look back on that now. I can look back today. I can look back even today and say, man, I can't deny what Jesus did for me right there. You see, because when it's a theory, people can debate you. You see, when you're talking about something you've never experienced, there's nothing saying that it's true. But you know what? No one can try to tell me that I'm not doing something, that I don't love Jesus. Had to do it. No one can, you know, can intelligently, like, argue me out of my faith. I knew he is real. I still know he was real. And I know that there's nothing that anybody could do to tell me differently. I had experienced him. I had encountered him. And guys, I'm going to do an altar call, so please prepare music. And so, guys, I want to tell you right now that you are one encounter away. You are one touch away from heaven flooding your life and transitioning you. You can cross this Jordan River. You can have that transition in your life, and you never have to be the same again. And don't forget to build your memorial. God wants to touch you. So, guys, I know there's a lot of people, and I know a lot of us have been up front a whole lot. But the Bible says, blessed are those who are hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. That's a promise. If you're hungry and thirsty after God, you will be filled. There's no question about it. So, guys, firstly, I want to do this because I've been in like half the sessions, but I'm not sure. I always have to make sure that every single person is saved. that every single person knows that if they were to die today, that they would go to heaven. There's no question in their heart. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit will bear witness in you and tell you that you are going to heaven. So I want everybody to just bow their heads, close their eyes. And remember, what's that one thing? Say you are saved. What's that one thing that God hasn't dealt with you with, that you've been burying, that you've been hiding? Because remember, one encounter that can change your life. One encounter that can take that away. So everybody under the sound of my voice, if you do not know that you would go to heaven, if you are not 100% sure, and you said, I've made him the Lord of my life, I've made him my Savior, or maybe you once served him and you've fallen away. You aren't in the same place that you used to be. You have sin separating you from God. So if that's you today, I want you to just lift your hand up and say, I need Jesus. I need Jesus. Hands all over the place. I need Jesus. I need Jesus. I need Jesus. So if that's you, it's going to be real simple. It's going to be quick. I'm not going to have to, you know, this whole, like, wait for that one person to come up thing, that's not going to exist right now. I'm going to count down from three, and you're just going to run up to the front. And you're going to say, Jesus, I need you to save me. Jesus, I need you to make me whole. So on the count of three, one, two, three. I like it. I was on two and people were coming. Just come up to the front. And I'm not talking you need an encounter with God. I'm talking you need to be saved. Jesus. If you're sitting in your seats, close your eyes, start to pray. If you're filled with the Spirit, pray in the Spirit. If you aren't, pray that you'll be filled with the Spirit. This is your time with God. You're not praying to me. You're praying to Jesus. You're praying that he will make you whole. That he'll take your sin and nail it to that cross. Jesus. I feel like there's still one more person. They're fighting it inside. They're like, no, I was saved. And God's like, yeah, but I feel so far away from you. I don't need you to put your hand up. I just need you to come to the front. Jesus. 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 Just say his name. Jesus. Jesus. That's where the power is. So guys, we're going to say a prayer. And then is there a salvation team? If there's a salvation team, please lift your hands. Okay, so good. We're just going to pray, and then we're going to pray for people. You guys can just say this prayer with me. Say, Lord, I love you. Today is the day that I am saved. I believe you died for me and you rose again so that I can be saved. Fill me, Holy Spirit. Cleanse me. Wash me. I am made new in your eyes. In the name of Jesus, I am saved, and I am born again, and I am going to heaven. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, guys, give them a round of applause real quick. Jesus is your Lord. Jesus is your Savior. But, guys, don't turn around and don't go anywhere. You all heard me talking about, just keep the music going. You all heard me talking about having an encounter with God. Having that touch. Remember that one thing that I had y'all thinking of? That one thing that you're like, you know, you've never given that over to God. Where he touches you and he changed your life. And if that's you, I want you guys to come up front. We're going to lay hands on people, and we're going to believe that just as Saul got wrecked by God, that he's going to come into your life, and he's going to touch you, and you will have an encounter with the King. So if you have a desire to encounter God, we're going to come down, we're going to lay hands on you. An uproar team, y'all are praying, not just catching. So kurdra ba 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 sit sianda. Jesus. Just say his name, Jesus. Jesus. So if you're part of the uproar team, I want you to lay hands on people when I start. While you stand there, just start to pray. Just start to stir yourself up. Just start to stir the atmosphere. Jesus. Jesus. All right, guys, you can start praying for people. Just close your eyes, lift your hands, and get ready for an encounter with God.